Hey. Hey, hey. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh. Come on now, gather around, glad you could join us. Spreading some love to start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey, hey, welcome to Life Unapologetic with Athena. I am your identity coach, Athena Stewart. I lead and guide leaders through overcoming rejection by identifying our talented strengths with a faith-based approach in an effort for us to walk in and out and through behavioral excellence. I'm super excited to bring you another podcast episode here on Life Apologetic with Athena. I first want to welcome all of my followers. Thank you for tuning in every time I drop an episode, no matter how long in between. I just want to thank you for being listeners on all of the platforms, all of the spaces, and all of the places. I also want to thank any new listeners to Life Unapologetic with Athena. Thank you for jumping in, tuning in, and joining us. I also want to shout out 126 The Genesis Radio Station. They are a live streaming radio service that I have partnered with. They are kingdom driven and kingdom minded. And so I'm super excited about the 126 Genesis Radio. Go check them out at www.radio.net. 126 The Genesis. You can also check them out over on Facebook. Listen, this is going to be a little detour from our Kingdom Culture series, as we're going to be talking about a subject that I think is very prevalent in the earth today. I'm titling this one Astrology, a practice incompatible with Christian beliefs and the absence of God. I want you to get that clear in the title, that this is not an adoption of astrology. This is a conversation of a practice that I feel and believe strongly is incompatible with the belief of the believers. And in this practice of astrology, not astronomy, of astrology, that there is an absence of God. 100% completely believe it, clear on it. And so what I want to do is dive into a very thought-provoking discussion on astrology, sorcery, and divination in the context of Christian beliefs, okay? What is our belief system, and how does this not merge well? How is this incompatible? What I want to do with you is explore the biblical perspective on these practices, because that's what they are, backed by Scripture. From the condemnation of divination in Jeremiah to the cautionary tale of King Solomon, why did he do it? Okay? Our journey will shed a lot of light today on the incompatibility of these occult. Now, occult means a magic or mystical practice, okay? So on these magic or mystical practices known as an occult, which is astrology, with the teachings of Christianity. So I'm excited to bring you guys into this conversation. Now, I did record this a little bit earlier live, so you can check it out over on the Spiritual Growth Academy YouTube channel, because I thought it was important to have this conversation on this subject. Now, and I share why this subject came up as the Holy Spirit led me. And so this is only going to be an hour show, but you can go and check out the hour and 48 minute show over on YouTube, only because we can't cram that into the hour slot that I have here for the podcast and the slot that we have for the radio show. So if you want to know more, again, you can join the Spiritual Growth Academy. You guys know all of the teachings that I do, with its notes, its scriptures, its commentary outlines are all held in the Spiritual Growth Academy vault. Go over to coachingwithathena.com. coachingwithathena.com. You can check out our YouTube channel from there. You can check out the landing page for the Spiritual Growth Academy. check me out on my website there, and get acquainted with all of the spaces that I'm in. Once again, coachingwithathena.com. Would love to have you guys over in the Spiritual Growth Academy. We've created what's called the Teaching Hub that houses all of the innovative conversations that we've been having. And so I'm super excited to bring in this conversation. Let me know your thoughts through email. You can go over to coachingwithathena.com and send me notes, conversation. You can find me on all of the spaces and all of the places, social media. Love to talk with you guys and gather your insights and your intel. Again, if you haven't joined the Spiritual Growth Academy, go check us out at coachingwithathena.com. You can also check out the Spiritual Growth Academy private community over on Facebook. I'm there quite a bit and active there, where you can definitely hold conversations with me until you decide to come over to the actual Spiritual Growth Academy platform, which is completely isolated and detached from all things social media. Let's jump into the show.
All right, now listen, Linda, listen. I'm super excited again to be here. I know we're going to talk about a subject that is, how would I place this? Subject that is not well received in some regards or respects in some cultures, belief systems, some ideologies, etc. And so this for me is something that I usually don't talk on or speak on, but I felt extremely led to talk about. So today I want to delve into a thought-provoking discussion on astrology, sorcery, and divination in the context of Christian beliefs, okay? What we're going to do is explore biblical perspectives on these practices backed by scripture, okay? I want to make sure that we're very clear on this. We are not talking to embrace or to adopt the practice of this particular form of artistry that some people call it. We want to really shed light on what God says on the matter and what the Word of God says on the matter, because at the end of the day, it's what the Word of God says on any matter that matters, right? And so, Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your Word. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your guidance. You said that you would reveal to us all truth. We thank you that you teach us, that you guide us, that you advocate for us, that you stand by us, and that you comfort us. Lord, we just repent right now for anything that we may have done, said, any wrong heart posture, any wrong disposition, oh God. We ask that you would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Holy Spirit, we ask that it be your Word, your voice, and your mind in this conversation, that you would lead, you a guide, and that you would speak to the hearts of your people, Father, that we would know truth and we would have a foundation of truth by which we can stand and build upon in Jesus' name, by which we as the elect would not be deceived, would not be manipulated or fall to the snares of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, it is super early here on my side, so I'm gonna use my inside voice this morning, y'all. I'm gonna use my inside voice, make sure this microphone is close. And so from the condemnation of divination in Jeremiah to the cautionary tale of King Solomon, our journey will shed light on the incompatibility of these occult or magic or mystical practices with the teachings of Christianity. So let's dive deep into the scripture and unravel the wisdom that offers on navigating spiritual landscapes. Now, I'm going to stick to my notes because y'all know I've been really trying to be consistent on sticking to my notes and not detouring off of those. I don't normally touch topics like this just because it used to not be my lane, but I felt like I was provoked to dive into this particular topic because I heard a believer speak on this in acceptance of it being acceptable in congruence or in tandem with Christianity, and that we could operate in these forms of practices as well as be a believer, and that God was okay with this, basically. And so that really alarmed me, that a believer of the faith would say that this practice is acceptable with the practice, and I don't want to say the practice, but the relationship that we have with God. Again, and I'm just going to set this disclaimer. For me, this is not open for debate. This is not going to be a confrontational or back and forth conversation. So if someone watching this live or listening does not agree with the conversation based on the Word of God, your comments will be deleted and you will be forever blocked, because I'm not here to debate. One of the things that the Word of God says that is true is that the unbeliever and or the believer who is not walking, the non-believer will not be able to understand the spiritual things of God. That means that no matter how much scripture you give, no matter how much revelation is given to you, no matter how much prophecy is released to you, they won't necessarily believe and can't see. It's just designed that way. The non-spiritual cannot understand the spiritual things of God because they don't have access to the heart and the mind of God. Only those who believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has access to the heart and mind of God and has accepted him as their Savior, thereby walking out and in their salvation. All right. And so as I heard this topic spoke on from the context of Christianity, I was immediately my wheels began to spin, because to be completely transparent, I never looked into astrology. I never looked into sorcery or divination from any perspective. I knew that it was something that, you know, was widely spoken in the Word of God that was not acceptable, but I never had a foundation of astrology in itself. And so when I heard this conversation, it really piqued my interest to say, God, what do you say on the matter? I believe that this is very important in this day and time, because we are living in a time, and we are also in a time where God is moving the earth and God is shaking things. And so it is very important for the believer to have a firm foundation in every respect of what God says. And when something is spoken into the atmosphere or your ear gate, or your eye gate, you begin to hear or see things, that you always question it by the word, not by how you feel, not by what someone else has told you, not what you think is right or wrong, but you always go to the Lord through the Spirit of God and you seek the truth, because the Holy Spirit was sent to reveal all truth to us. And it is only him by which we can gain a firm understanding of what God feels and says on the matter. Okay. And so I want to break down, I made a lot of notes. Okay. So we're going to try to stick to these notes. Holy Spirit told me to incorporate some things in this conversation, and we're going to do that the best that I can in the limited time that I have. Okay. So astrology, I want to lay the foundation. Now, astrology is not to be confused with astronomy, which is the science or study of space. Okay, there's a differentiation. They are not one and the same. And so I believe that's important to differentiate, because a lot of times when the enemy is trying to bring acceptance to these dark practices, they want to bring in the truth, right? A small bit of truth, which is wrapped in a lie. Okay. And so a lot of times people can get astronomy confused with astrology. Okay. And astronomy, again, is the science or study of space, right? You know, what is the universe? What is the galaxies? What are the planets, right? And those are curiosity of man. And of course, God created all of these beautiful stars and planets and galaxies, right? And so it's natural for man's interest to be piqued, but it is not a sin to be interested in astronomy, which is studying our atmosphere, right? It's just how we evolve as a species. It is not, again, to be confused with astrology, which is a totally different practice, and we're going to get into that. So astrology, not astronomy, astrology is a range of divinatory practices recognized as pseudoscientific science in the 18th century. Okay. Now get this. It's a divinatory practice, which means it is dark in nature and it is demonic from a biblical standpoint. And when it says pseudoscientific, when I looked into that, it meant that astrology is not accepted or honored in the scientific community. It has not been founded to be a recognized practice by the scientific community. That's important because, you know, people always try to weigh things in science. We know that science is an important an important element to life, but it is not the end all be all. God is the main one that trumps everything, whether you can see or come to an equation scientifically. What God says on a matter is all that matters, right? Because when you deal with miracles, signs, and wonders, when you deal with the gifts of the Spirit, many times science doesn't equal to what God can do, because God is infamous, and however he wants to do, whatever he wants to do in faith, he can do. Okay. And so it is pseudoscientific since the 18th century that claim to discern information about human affairs and terrestrial events by studying the apparent position of celestial objects. Forgive me, y'all, it's super early and my voice, I have not woken up, okay? But we need to do this before I go to work. I usually don't work on Tuesdays, but I've been asked to come in, okay? And so when we look at astrology, it is claimed to discern information about humans, about circumstances, about situations, and they try to use stars and objects, right, that come from different formations, celestial objects, right, and their positions to try to gauge or to try to gain access to information. Now, divination, I want to talk about that because that's in conjunction with astrology. Divination is from the is derived from the Latin divinare, which is to foresee, foretell, predict, or prophesy. Okay, the devil always wants to try to creep in there, right? It's an attempt to gain insight into a question or a situation. I want to repeat this again. It is an attempt to gain insight into a question or a situation by way of occultic. Now, I wanted to look up the word occultic because many times we have a perception of what that is without truly understanding what that is. And so occultic is a magical or mystical ritual of practice. Okay. It is a magical or mystical ritual. You gotta get this. Or practice used in various forms throughout history. Diviners ascertain their interpretations of how a courant should proceed by reading signs, events, or omens. So they would try to gain interpretation for an individual who is seeking some form of insight or direction by reading signs, events, or omens, or through alleged contact or interaction with a supernatural agency, including spirits, lowercase gods, lowercase godlike beings, and the will of the universe. Okay. We see this a lot today. Through social media, through entertainment, you have people who speak to loved ones who've passed on. You have individuals who do a myriad of other things, And they want to incorporate that in being supernatural in the sense of being acceptable or being wholesome or being of light and not darkness or spirits, or they want to say it's gods. But we're going to keep going. I'm not going to add my opinion. I'm going to give you just the foundation of what astrology is defined as. And then we're going to look at how the world defines astrology. And we're going to talk about how the word of God defines astrology and its counterparts. Okay. So divination can be seen as a systemic method with which to organize what appears to be disjointed random facets of existence, such that they provide insight into a problem at hand. Some modern instruments or practices of divination or magical practices can include tarot card readings, okay? Rune, which is R-U-N-E casting. This is where they use these objects to cast, and then based on how they fall or their position, they're able to give you some insight. Tiefly reading, automatic writing, and water scrying. Okay, I'm just reading you what the facts are on this particular, these partnering things with astrology. If a distinction is to be made between divination and fortune telling, divination has a more formal or ritualistic element and often contains a more social character, usually in a religious context, as seen in traditional African medicine. Fortune telling, on the other hand, is a more everyday practice for personal purpose. Particular divination methods vary by culture and religion. Okay. And so in a lot of arenas, astrology partnered with divination and sorcery is accepted and used in many different cultures to try to figure out things, gain access, gain answers, gain insight. But we know that we have access to the prophetic. We have access to gifts that the Lord has given us. And we know that they can be what's called profanely used, which means it goes against its original purpose and its original design. And so it's important that when we're talking about astrology, that we always look at the counterparts. We always look at what is associated with astrology. It is never by itself. And this is very important to understand, that divination and sorcery go hand in hand with astrology, okay? And so divination has long been criticized. In the modern era, it has been dismissed by the scientific community as well as astrology and skeptics as being superstitious. Experiments do not support the idea that divination and astrology techniques can actually predict the future more reliably or precisely than would be possible without it. Different cultures have employed forms of astrology science at least the second millennium BCE. These practices having originated in calendric systems. This is very important. I want y'all to hear this. Basically calendar-based systems, which is a calculation concerning calendar dates. Now, when I read this, Holy Spirit directly took me to Daniel chapter 7, and he began to show me how what that particular text has really meant. And I've read this a lot, and it's been very heavy in my spirit the last 2 years, where the enemy would seek to change the time and the law. And we know that the way that we walk in this natural-based environment is we follow the calendar system. It's a system. It's a time-based system that man has created by which to organize systemic processes, right? And so when I saw that divination and astrology uses calculation by calendar dates, it all made sense. It all began to click why this type of practice is used in conjunction with the calendar. And so they use the calendar to predict seasonal shifts. Remember, the Word of God said to change the laws and the time. And here we're seeing that astrology uses the calendar to predict seasonal shifts and to interpret celestial cycles as signs of divine communication. Okay. And so remember, scientific astronomy also uses the calendar and the moon and the stars and the sun to determine seasons and time, right? And so here we see astrology also trying to incorporate within their practices what the science community uses for their practice and determination. Most, if not all, cultures have attached importance to what they've observed in the sky, and some, such as the Hindu, Chinese, and Maya, developed elaborate systems for predicting terrestrial events from celestial observation. Okay, Western astrology, one of the oldest astrological systems still in use, can trace its roots to the 19th or 17th century BCE Mesopotamia, from where it spread to ancient Greece, Rome, and Islamic world, and eventually Central and Western Europe. Contemporary Western astrology is often associated with systems of horoscopes that purpose to explain aspects of a person's personality and predict significant events in their lives based on the positions of celestial objects. The majority of professional astrologers rely on such systems. Now, I want to point out that sentence, that the majority of professional astrologers rely on systems, doesn't rely on God, doesn't rely on the Word of God, doesn't rely on the Holy Spirit, doesn't rely on intimacy with the Holy Spirit, doesn't rely on prayer, doesn't rely on fasting and consecration to hear God clearly and to walk with God clearly. The professional astrologers rely on systems, okay, practical systems by which to try to obtain information, okay? There's a process for this. Throughout its history, astrology was considered scholarly tradition and was common in academic circles. So it used to be recognized, okay? Now, following the end of the 19th century and the wide-scale adoption of the scientific method, researchers have successfully challenged astrology on both theoretical and experimental grounds and have shown it to have no scientific validity or explanatory power. Okay, I'm just telling you what the people say. Okay, this is an article by the people for the people. Okay, I just want to lay the foundation, and then we're going to talk about what Jesus says about it. Okay, now, astrology thus lost its academic and theoretical stance in the Western world, and common belief in it largely declined until a continuing resurgence. Okay, the comeback, all right, starting in the 1960s. Now, in India, belief in astrology is longstanding and widespread and continues. Okay, now that's all the time I'm going to give it from a foundational standpoint, okay? So here we see astrology being clearly differentiated from astronomy. Here we see the scientific community saying, listen, we don't rock with astrology. We don't believe that it has any substance or any grounds by which we can adopt or continue to use it. And at the end of that dissertation, okay, we see that it has a resurgence, or it's coming back per se. And I strongly believe the comeback in the 1960s has begun because people are looking for answers, and because many don't want discipline, consistent discipline, in the area of relationship with God, we begin to look for answers outside of what we can't seem to obtain through God. This is where this New Age movement has come. This is where, you know, we're looking at many different aspects of God in our own eyes, or in how we want to associate God, or what things we want to associate with God with. But as I heard this word, and as I heard this particular believer talking about astrology in conjunction with Christianity, my heart was vexed. And I said, God, you have to teach me on this. Like, I need to know what you say on the matter, because we're living in a time where people are having hard situations, hard circumstances, hard seasons, and they are very vulnerable to the snares of the enemy, the traps, the manipulation of the enemy. What do you say on the matter? Now, this is what I got from the Lord. Okay, so we're going to dive into what was given to me. And again, I want to set the foundation from a biblical standpoint, okay, of what the Lord says on the matter. You can take it how you want to take it, whether that offends you, whether it rubs you the wrong way, whether you hear this word and you run from it. One of the things that was spoken on this subject in conjunction to Christianity is that when believers see the word astrology, or they hear someone talking about astrology, that there is an element of fear. And the word Voldemort, like astrology, don't say that word. If you're a believer, don't say that word, because you're now, you know, operating in it. And one of the things that when I heard this word and this believer talking about this, the Lord said to have an understanding. We have to know what we are dealing with. When people like this particular believer begin to use certain demonic practices and incorporate it in quote unquote a Christian walk, we as believers have to be well informed. We have to be well informed. If not, we have no foundation on which to counteract the lie or the snare of the enemy. And so I said, Holy Spirit, can I look up astrology? Can I read some founded documentation on this word to have a foundation by which to seek your response, your retort to the matter? And I got the green light, okay? And as a green light, what I just read to you is what the world has to say about astrology. Now we want to see what God has to say. Good morning, y'all. Thank you so much for joining me. Good morning. All right, so I titled this Astrology, a practice incompatible with Christian beliefs and the absence of God. God is not in astrology. Okay, he is not in the practice, the magical or mystical operations by which individuals seek to obtain information. We know that when we walk with the Holy Spirit, we seek him, and he gives us what we need for our season. He also gives us insight for others, but this is through relationship, and this is through consecration. This is through communication by way of prayer. This is through consistency in chewing and meditating and relying on the word of God. And this is through prophetically experiencing God on a daily walk or level. And so the first thing that Holy Spirit gave me was the word compromise. And he said, Athena, I want to share with you that what we're experiencing in this era, in this culture, is the spirit of compromise. Okay. And so the enemy uses this weapon of compromising to cause individuals to make concessions, to things that are spiritually detrimental. Now, we see this in the world today, especially in, quote unquote, some Christian population, where we are making concessions for things. We're giving access spiritually to things that are not warranted or approved by the Lord, that are not, quote unquote, acceptable by biblical terms or biblical practices, okay, what God says on the matter. However, the world is making concessions. They are making it seem as if things are okay so that it fits their lifestyle, so that it fits the things that make them comfortable, so that they have a form of godliness, lowercase g, but deny the power thereof. In the case of the believer, what it means to compromise, it means to lower our biblical standard and the abandonment of a conviction. When we operate from areas of divination and sorcery that is attached to astrology, what we are doing in essence, in the natural, in this physical being, we are lowering our biblical standard and we are abandoning conviction. Because let me tell you something, when you walk with the Holy Spirit, when you have a relationship, when you are intimate with this man, okay, let me tell you about Holy Spirit. When you love him, when you seek him, when you adore him, when you walk with him consistently, when you turn down your plate, your food, and you drink water only for a certain period of time, whether it's a certain period of hours combined with a certain period of days, combined with your word, combined with paying attention to what you watch and what you listen to, that would add spiritual nutrition to your overall being. He will convict you. He will show you what is right and what is wrong. He will protect you. He will enclose himself around you to ensure that there is conviction. Now, conviction is not condemnation, and conviction is not shame. Conviction is the way that God loves us in redirecting us, the way that God shifts our trajectory, the way that God puts us back on the path designed for our destiny. That's conviction. When we begin to operate outside of the will of God, when we begin to embrace the systems and of this culture and this time, the modern day Babylon, we basically walk away from our convictions in the Holy Ghost, okay? And we lower our biblical standards. We say, well, you know, it feels good. It seems right. And they're doing it. And they're doing it. So maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe, you know, since God created all things, then maybe this is okay. I want you to go and read Romans chapter 14, verse 16, which talks, and in this particular text, in Romans chapter 14, verse 16, we have this discussion about food. It's centered around food. Now, in those times, Jewish versus Gentile, the Jewish or the chosen people of God had a very strict dietary. They had very strict dietary restrictions, where there were certain foods that they could and could not eat because of the law of Moses, right? Because of what God instituted before Jesus, right? Before our Lord and Savior's life, death, and resurrection. And so this carried into their faith, this carried into their practices, right? And so they were not allowed to touch or eat certain foods to not defile themselves, their temple, right? We are to keep the temple holy. And this particular teaching or law was also used as a metaphor of people and of the Gentiles. Peter was waiting to eat. Peter was hungry, okay? And he went up on the roof to go on and wait for his food to be finished. And the Lord put him in a trance, which is a form of a vision, where you're not asleep. It's not a dream. It's not a closed vision, it's an open vision. You're in a trance and you're seeing something play out before you. And in this trance, Peter was showing different varieties of food, and the Lord was saying to Peter what was acceptable because he created it, okay? And Peter was like, this ain't acceptable, okay? The law says, the word, the Torah says that this, 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 and this. And the Lord convicted Peter and said, do not call what I have created unacceptable. Now, many people want to say this means that now I can go eat bacon and pork. We're not talking about that. The metaphor that the Lord was giving, the dark saying, the mystery that the Lord was revealing to Peter was the acceptance of another culture, the acceptance of another people, the Gentiles, you and I, okay, into the holy people, that they, the Gentiles, like the people of God, could accept, could be accepted into salvation, hear the word of God, be preach the word of God, and accept salvation, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Okay. And so Peter had to wrap his mind around this. And so God coupled that trance experience, that revelatory word, with a human experience by taking him to a man who walked after God, who sought the things of God, who fed the poor, who walked by the words of God. His whole family practiced Christianity, even though they weren't necessarily accepted by the culture at that time. And this is where Peter had an experience where God baptized this man and his family, Cornelius, with the Holy Ghost before water baptism. This threw Peter for a tizzy. Okay, he went into a whole tailspin because he was like, wait a minute, I thought we had to be baptized first by water before we could be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But God was showing the proof of Acts chapter 2, where I poured out my spirit on all flesh. Okay, so listen, don't put me in a box. Don't try to hinge me on the way you think things should be done. I am God, and I do things the way that I want to do things. So there was a big point. Now, Paul also used the metaphor of food in the context of offending one another, that if your brother is offended by a practice, by a way that you do things, or by a way that you move, if it offends your brother, or if it would cause a new believer or a believer to go astray, cut it out your diet, okay? Put it down, let it go. And so this particular text is so important to understand from a revelation standpoint, a prophetic, a God-based, capital G-based prophetic insight, because we are to be sensitive to those we walk alongside. If we are accepting certain things and calling them okay, and they offend our brother or our sister, and our heart is pricked because we see the offense or we see the retort, then we have to seek the Father on it and seek what the Lord says. And 9 times out of 10, if it's not something we should be doing, we need to put it down. If it's something that is going to offend your brother or your sister or cause them to walk in the wrong way, put it down. Okay, that's number one. Now, when we're talking about compromising, James chapter 1, verse 8 says this: for being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, and irresolute, or having no resolution, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides, right? The word of God says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. When Holy Spirit gave me this, I said, okay, what does this have to do with astrology? What does this have to do with divination and sorcery? And the Holy Spirit said, what this has to do is, what it is saying is that I'm not good enough, that God doesn't have the answer alone, that God needs assistance by which to lead his people, by which to help you overcome, by which to help you walk through. And so you now have to bring in other practices to counteract or to weigh what God may say on a matter, what God may think on a matter, or a way that you feel that you need to get insight. Let me say this. One of the reasons, and this is what I feel in my spirit, y'all go to God for yourself. One of the reasons why the world is seeking astrology today is because they cannot hear the voice of God. They cannot hear or see in the spiritual realm prophetically, in the heavenly realms prophetically, outside of the second heaven, which is where all the demonic activity happens. Because they cannot hear the voice of God, because of their unwillingness to accept salvation and to walk in relationship with the Father, they now seek other ways by which to hear God, to hear in the spirit. Okay. I'm going to give you an example of King Saul. King Saul, excuse me. I'm going to give you an example of a biblical king who could no longer hear from God and resorted in going after these dark arts, these dark magics, okay? Because he could not no longer hear from God, he resorted to go to witches. He resorted to go to divination. He resorted to go to sorcery, okay? He resorted to go to astrologers, okay? And so it's all biblical. What the Holy Spirit led me on, this whole chase after the answer on this thing, is all biblical. Now, what I want to read to you, I want to give you some context on how astrology came into the natural realm. Okay, it is a mystery to man that was introduced into the natural realm by divine beings. Okay, let me just read this now. In Genesis, the book of in Genesis chapter 6, we have verse 4, and I'm going to put this in. I'm going to put this in the comments for my YouTube people and my Facebook people. And this is let me just put the name Genesis 6, verse 4. Okay, and we're going to load this up. Amen. So this is Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and it says, "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God," these are divine beings. When you see sons of God, it's talking about things that God has made that are divine. They were not made through intercourse. They were not born into flesh, into the natural base time, which we walk in, into the natural earth. Sons of God are divine beings. They were created for God for a purpose by God, okay? And so here we see the sons of God, which are angels or divine beings. They came unto the daughters of men, meaning they took wives and they had intercourse. They procreated with women, okay? Daughters of men now differentiates a natural-based entity, a natural-based person. The daughters of men means that they were born through intercourse, okay, procreation, and were born into the flesh, not divine, or originally created in heaven per se for a divine heavenly purpose to carry out something in the earth. But these were women who were born by a man and a woman, okay? And they bear children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, okay, which were of old. Men of renown, Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. Now, when we read the book of Enoch, the book of Enoch is mentioned in the Word of God. Whether or not some of the church accepts it, whether or not some of the church believes it, the book of Enoch is spoken in the Word of God. There is reference to Enoch and Enoch's revelation and Enoch's visions and his experiences. Now, some of the books were not accepted by the Catholic Church, Protestant, however you want to put it. And so some things were not included in the Word of God. Y'all got to do your theology and do your study, okay? But that did not prevent it from not being accepted by God. And so as Holy Spirit has taught me on these things, I've been so grateful because it gives so much insight, okay? And so we're talking about a particular branch of divine beings that God created called watchers. Now, there are still watchers today, the demonic watchers, which decided to not do what they were created to do and sleep with women. And we have watchers that still decide to do what God created them to do. And they watch over the affairs of man, okay? And as they watch over the affairs of man, they carry out certain assignments by God. We see this, and I had this scripture earlier. Let me see if I can bring this back up. We see this in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 13, in the book of Daniel, chapter 17. Chapter 4, verse 13, verse 17, and verse 23. And let me just put this up on the screen as well, so we have documentation of this. I may not get through this teaching because I literally only have to the latest 6:30 my time because I have to work today, and I'm not happy about it because Tuesdays usually are my recording days. All right, so the book of Daniel refers to the class of watcher, which is a holy one, three times. This was in the dream. This was in a dream. The term watcher, a holy one, was an expression introduced by Nebuchadnezzar, not Daniel. The biblical accounts of the watchers can be found in Daniel chapter 4, verse 13, verse 17, and verse 23. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was acting a fool, and God was trying to help him like he's trying to help us today. And God was trying to prevent Nebuchadnezzar from losing his status. Okay, he had a big status as a king. God had blessed him in his rule, and God was trying to sustain his rule. God was trying to see if this would be a king who would actually listen and turn his heart to God. He did not. Okay, and so the watchers, they spoke a word. They said, listen, you got a time frame, sir, by which to make your decision. You either conform to what God is asking you to conform to, or there will be consequences to your decision. He did not do so. And so the watchers had the authority to carry out the ability to make him lose his mind. Okay, he became an animal-like being, and he acted and ate like an animal for a time until his heart would change towards the Lord. Okay, our decisions have consequences. And so I wanted to lay that foundation for the watchers being biblical-based beings created by God, having assignments, because remember, when Lucifer fell, he took a third of the angels with him. When he fell, he made a choice to do profane things. And as a result of his choice to try to create this scenario by which he could overtake God, as if he could do such a thing, you would think because of the wisdom he was given, he'd have enough sense to know that that's not possible. He didn't, unfortunately, like many of us don't. And so he was able to coach, right, or to convince a third of the divine beings, angels, to back him on this decision. Thereby, they also lost and forfeited their opportunity to remain in that particular heavenly realm and were cast into the second heaven. Okay, now, as they began to interact with men and women, right, because they took on wives, which means they had relations. They began to bear children, which brought about the Nephilim, the giants, and that turned into be a whole debacle, which brought on the assignment of Noah, etc. Now, Enoch says, and it says, all of the others together of them took unto themselves wives, and each chose for himself one, and they began to go in unto and to devour themselves with them. So what it's saying is these heavenly beings, because they slept with women, now they defiled their holy purpose, right? They defiled why God created them. They went against what God ordered them to be and to do. Remember, some heavenly beings have choice. Angels have choice. God did not make all his creatures in heaven to not be able to choose or to decide. Read the word, talk to the Holy Spirit. It's a very interesting study, okay? And so, and they taught them charms, they taught them enchantments, they taught them the cutting of roots, and they made them acquainted with plants, okay? I'm just telling you how things got introduced to humanity. I don't want y'all to think we were smart enough to figure this out by ourselves, okay? Please understand that let me just say this. I'm going to make this blanket statement because I believe it to be absolutely 150% true, that anything that you see evolve by man is not by man in itself. I believe technology, I believe science, I believe everything that has advanced or has elevated man is from a heavenly space. I believe that there are visions, dreams, and insights that God gives man, and man decides whether, just like these watchers, whether to profanely use the thing, which is against the laws and the principles of God, or to divinely, holy, right, use giftings and skill sets. And so here we see these watchers have this technology. They have technology of enchantments. They have technology of cutting roots, of charms, and of plants, okay? It says in chapter 8, and Azel, and I might get these names wrong, but this is a particular angel, taught men to make swords, and knives and shields and breastplates, and made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them, and bracelets and ornaments and the use of anatomy. Okay. So here we see the watchers teaching man how to fight, how to war, or how to use instruments of war. And when they taught them anatomy, they begin to teach them about the body. As being in the medical field, I had to be taught on anatomy, right? Because you have to know the results of certain injuries or certain ailments, and where, you know, the root issue could lie. And so here we see these watchers teaching man how to use weaponry, right? Obviously for war in the grand scheme of things, right? And how a weapon could impact a body, how a shield could protect a body. It also said that they taught them beautifying of the eyelids, okay? Beautifying of the eyelids, which means they taught them about makeup, okay? Makeup was never created for us to be, you know, necessarily to wear, to be cute. It all had a connotation of seduction. Okay. How to make yourself look very seductive, certain colors and certain shades, right? And certain placement of colors and shades by which to seduce. Okay. I'm just telling you what it says. Okay. They also taught them about costly stones and coloring tinctures. And there arose much godlessness as a result of this. And they committed fornication, and they were led astray and became corrupt in their ways. Okay, we're talking about the fallen angels here. Samaja taught enchantments. This particular angel taught root cutting. Amaroas, the resolving of enchantments. Baraquel or Agel taught astrology. Cocabel, the constellations. Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds. Arquel, the signs of the earth. Shaziel, the signs of the sun, and Sarziel, the course of the moon. And as men perished, they cried, and their cries went up unto heaven. Okay. Are y'all with me? I hope y'all are still with me. Okay. And so I wanted to read that because I wanted to lay a foundation of how a lot of this technology, I call all of this technology, because it is an advancement far beyond man. Okay, we didn't stumble on a rock, and we didn't stumble on a plant, and you know, it's just like, oh, that's this, oh, that's that. Now, as I've studied more about watchers, and I've studied more about angels and the hierarchy and different beings and where they're placed and why God has placed them, one of the things that the devil thought, and that the fallen angels thought, because they had access to the heart and mind of God for a time, because they were very close with God, they felt that they understood the full picture of what God had planned for man and for the earth and for the galaxies. And so in teaching man these things, in their minds, they believed that they were able to thwart the purpose and the plans of God by teaching them these technologies that were not meant for you and I to have. We were never meant to have weapons and shields by which to create war, because we were never meant to be out of unity. We were never meant to be at odds with one another. God is not a God of division and divination. That was never God's intent for our species, okay, for why and who he created us to be. We were never meant to have to beautify ourselves with makeup or have to cover up imperfections. We were never meant to have sickness by which we need pharmaceuticals, which is the word for witchcraft, right? We were never meant to need these things. It's the practice of many things that were introduced, technologies, and that things that we become accustomed to or that we adopt, that creates opportunity, openings, portals, however you want to place it, for the enemy to gain access by which to create these scenarios or these instances by which we see a lot of believers going through or having issues with. Now, next, I want to lay a foundation. And again, this is going to be a two-part study because I didn't know it was going to be this deep, but we need to really understand. God says that the people of God perish from a lack of knowledge. People, period.
Hey, y'all. Hey, that's my time. Listen, if you want the rest, go over to the Spiritual Growth Academy over on YouTube. Check out the rest. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye now.